So tonight I want to talk briefly about mother. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, we read, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." The word in Hebrew that's used for mother is aim. Aleph Samech. It's a primitive word, and it means mother as the bond of the family. And it means mother with a sense of parting. So the term mother always means that there's going to be a leaving. A man shall leave his father and his mother. Aim is like the Hebrew word ab, which is the word translated as father, or forefather, or chief. But when we read in Scripture the word mother, it always means there's going to be a separation of the generations. See, our role as fathers and mothers is to raise the generation. Our role as spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers is to raise a generation so that they can be separated and go in a greater mantle and anointing than we walk in. In Genesis 3:20, "Now the man called his wife's name Eve, and she was the aim of all the living." She was the mother of all the living. Of the 216 times that the Holy Spirit speaks of mother in the Old Testament, aim is the only word that's used. It's used one other time for parting. See, Father God's very specific in the word he chooses to describe and define the function and the ministry of mother. The ministry of mommy, the ministry of mom. Many of us call our mothers mother, mommy, mom, and a bunch of other things. For example, our English translations misinterpret the Hebrew word twice as mother in Jeremiah. There's a Hebrew word that's used. It's giabra, gibra. It means mistress or queen. And the English translations translated as queen mother. See, we gain insight into the judgment of God that was being pronounced through Jeremiah when we see that the word that was translated as mother literally meant someone that was in a wrong position, a mistress. Jeremiah 13:18 says, "Say to the king and the queen mother, take a lowly seat, for your beautiful crown has come down from your head." There was a counterfeit in the place of the one that should be there. In the New Testament, there's only one word that's used in the 84 times that mother is mentioned. It's the Hebrew word matar. It literally means immediate or remote, like grandma or great-grandma, mother. See, God made the family, not man. We like to think that it's our institution so we can change the definition of what it is, two guys or two girls, not. And in Exodus 20, verse 12, he commands that we honor both our father and our mother so that we may enjoy long life on the earth. Some of us still have the opportunity to honor our fathers and mothers. Even if they are in heaven, we have the opportunity to honor them in the way we speak and remember them. See, giving honor is always a choice. I have to choose to honor. I have to choose not to participate in the talk that could belittle someone, especially my parents. There may come a day when I'll be in that situation. And whatever I do to honor my mother or my father, or whatever I do to dishonor them, I give my children and my grandchildren the right to treat me that way. See, it doesn't matter what mom did or did not do for us. The grace of God is sufficient for us to forgive, to release, to honor, and to bless our mother and our father. Many of us aren't enjoying life because we've never taken the time to let him deal with this. That's what communion was about tonight. So that we can honor those that went before us. See, God gave us some wisdom and how we can honor our father and mother and enjoy long life. I'm just going to read some scriptures to you. Proverbs 1:8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Proverbs 6:20. My son, observe the commandment of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Proverbs 10:1. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. Proverbs 19:26. He who assaults his father and drives his mother away is a shameful and disgraceful son. Proverbs 20:20. He who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness. Proverbs 23:22. Listen to your father who begat you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Proverbs 28:24. He who robs his father or his mother and says, it is not a transgression, he is the companion of a man who destroys. Proverbs 30:11. There is a kind of man who curses his father and does not bless his mother. Proverbs 30:17. The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. If I don't honor my father and my mother, I open myself up for demonic attack. That's what this is a picture of. I open myself up for the curse structure and not the blessing structure. See, we all have a choice, all of us as a son or a daughter, to honor our mother. In the things we say, in the memories we choose to keep. See, we're created in Father's image and likeness, which means we can allow the blood of Jesus and his DNA to redeem the traumas in my life, in my DNA, and set me free so that I can choose to honor my mother. Although there are many mothers in Scripture that we can talk about this evening, I've chosen to look at five traits of a godly mother from the life of Hannah. Do you remember Hannah? In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 1 Samuel 2 through verse 21, we hear the story of Elkanah and Hannah and the birth of Samuel. We know that Elkanah loved Hannah, but she couldn't have children. And we know that Hannah loved the Lord, and she pursued him and received the promise. Not just did she have Samuel, but she had six children. So point number one, godly mothers are constant in communication with God about their children, dedicating them to God, even before they're conceived. In 1 Samuel 1, verses 10 and 11, we read, "She greatly distressed." How many of you, when you're greatly distressed, turn to prayer? Now, this is a characteristic that David had. Remember, David was the little shepherd that Hannah's son anointed as king. "Greatly distressed, she prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts,'" she called upon the warrior God, Jehovah Sabaoth. That's what Lord of hosts means. "If you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head." Have you ever been in the place of desperation where you petitioned the Lord, made a vow, and dedicated the very thing you wanted most in life before you ever had it? That's pretty desperate prayer. But see, godly moms are desperate in prayer for the next generation. Number two, godly mothers worship the Lord in faith with thanksgiving, even before the promise is manifest. In 1 Samuel 1:15, Hannah says, "I poured out my soul before the Lord." And in 1 Samuel 1:19, we read that they arose early in the morning and worshiped. They worshiped before the Lord and returned again to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah had relations with his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. Do you have a busy day? Get up early and worship. You have to go on a trip? Get up early and worship. I learned something from Martin Luther. When you have a day full of meetings, get up early and worship. He would get up and usually spend about 3 hours in prayer and worship, reading the scriptures before he started his day. And he said, "When I have a lot of meetings and a busy day, I get up earlier and worship." See, godly moms will put their worship of the Lord first so that everything they do throughout the day is surrounded in worship. Number three, godly mothers meditate on the goodness of the Lord, pondering his promises in their heart as they prepare their children for his service. 1 Samuel 1:22, "But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, 'I will not go up until the child is weaned, then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and stay there forever.'" Now, Casey talked about how she used to get the kids dressed. See, godly moms will be concerned about how they're going to dress 30 years from now. Do you put on the full armor? Do you put on the fruit of the Spirit? Or do you just splash a dash and run out the door? See, godly moms are trying to prepare their children to be beacons of light when mom's not around anymore, because there's going to come a time of parting. Number four, godly mothers prepare their hearts in worship and dedicate their children in worship so that their children will have a foundation of worship for their lives. First Samuel 1:24-28. "Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with a 3-year-old bull and a 1-year-old and a one ephah of flour and a jug of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. Although the child was young, then they slaughtered the bull and brought the blood to Eli. She said, "Oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood beside you praying to the Lord. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition which I asked of him. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord." And he, Samuel, worshiped the Lord there. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, you can read the song of worship, the thanksgiving and the praise that Hannah lifted to the Lord at Samuel's dedication. Many of you have sung over your children. Many of you have taught your children how to worship, how to sing simple songs to the Lord. That's worship. Proverbs says, "Train a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it." Godly moms are faithful to train their children. And when they are old, they're going to come back to that path. I can testify of that. I wandered. From the time I was saved at 12 and backslid at 14, all of those things that were sown into my life, how to pray, by my mom, by my dad, they touch your DNA. See, godly moms will worship and prepare the heart of their kids to worship. And the last point, number 5. Godly mothers honor the Lord and bless their children at the appointed times of the Lord, preparing them in the way they should go. In 1 Samuel 2:19, we read, "And his mother would make him a little robe and bring it to him from year to year when she would come with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice." See, godly moms will teach their children the value of God's celebrations. Hannah always brought something for the one she dedicated to the Lord, and they always came at the appointed times of God. We celebrate the appointed times of God: Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. Godly moms will prepare their children in such a way that it becomes natural for them to enter in to the yearly appointed times of the Lord. It's not too late. This verse is the last time we ever hear of Hannah in Scripture. She's a godly mother who served the Lord and prepared the way for her children to serve the Lord. And I believe that she prepared the other 5 that were born in the same way. That she laid out before them the same thing that she laid out before Samuel. She prayed and she covered him. She worshiped and she covered her sons and her daughters. She prepared a lifestyle for them to understand the appointed times of God. She allowed her life to be seen by her children. So that they could observe what we today would call Christ-like character in their mom. It's not too late. We can choose to honor our moms. It's not just a second Sunday in May thing. And by the way, it's Mother's Day in many other nations around the world tomorrow. It's not just a once a year thing, but it's something that we choose to do. A phone call, a card. Don't surprise him in the middle of the night. I tried that once. I thought, oh, I'm done with my exams. I'll come home early from school. I'll come home 2 days early. So I bought my own bus ticket, got to downtown, and started hitchhiking home at 12:30 in the morning. And a guy drove up beside me who I happened to know. I won't mention his name because he owns a large contracting company. And I just knew him from the country club I worked at in the summers. And he said, do you need a ride? And I said, sure. And he said, where are you going? And I said, well, Ridgemont would be fine. So he said, okay. He started driving me out this way, and we got to Ridgemont. And he said, well, where are you really going? And I said, all the way out to the end of Peck Road. He drove me out to my parents' house, dropped me off. And I started coming in the front door. And those of you who know me know I have six brothers and sisters and had four foster brothers and sisters. Two at a time. And I unlocked the front door and bumped into something because they rearranged the furniture. And my mom went through every name until she got to mine. Because what was I doing home? She finally got to my name and I said, yeah. And I said, you moved the furniture. And I hear my dad, you ought to be glad we didn't move. It was 2 o'clock in the morning by then. But we can choose to honor them with surprises. Just don't do it at 2 in the morning. I'm glad he didn't have his shotgun loaded. Take the time to honor your mom so that you can enjoy long life. If there has been a hurt in your heart, and in your relationship, let's put it at the foot of the cross tonight. So that it's covered by the blood and your heart can be cleansed by the blood. So that every issue is forgiven. That's a choice we have to make. And then we choose to take the memories and honor them. I'm going to honor the memory of my mom when I was 5 years old, running down a gravel road barefoot, me, not her, because she wanted to teach me how to swim. I was happy just playing in the water. My dad and my mom were lifeguards, but she decided I was five and I needed to learn how to swim. And I took off. I was pretty fast, but there was nowhere to go when I got to the end of the road. And she carried me back out to the end of the dock and threw me in and said, now learn how to swim. I'm glad she taught me. I know now that the water was only that deep and I could have stood up and it wasn't over my head at all. But I didn't know it then. It was the end of the dock. We can choose the fun memories and honor the things that mom and dad do for us and did for us. Or we can choose to hang on to the things that we shouldn't be hanging on to. And Casey says it's like reaching into a canary cage, whacking yourself a few times and putting the bird back in the cage. See, when I choose to hang on to hurts in my family line, it doesn't just hurt me. It hurts my children and my grandchildren and all of those that come after me because I can't give them the fullness of what should have come from Father through Adam, through Seth, and all the way down to us. Honoring is a choice. If there's things that you would like prayer for tonight, and yes, this is very short, for those of you who like short messages, I will be happy to pray with you afterwards. But I'd like to just bless all the moms tonight and all of the moms to be. Father, I thank you that you created us in your image and your likeness, that you have motherhood figures in your character, even as you have fatherhood figures in your character. And Lord, I thank you for the moms that you've gathered here tonight and those that will hear this message. Lord, I thank you that you are their healer and their deliverer, their sanctifier, and you are the glory and the lifter of their heads. I thank you, Lord, that in your book you have written well done. And I thank you that you are showing them how to redeem the time. Lord, I ask that you would give each of us, man, woman, and child, your heart to honor our mothers. In the way we say the things we say, in the way we do the things we do, that you will give us your heart of honor to honor them, that their memories from our heart and our lips now and forevermore will be that they are women who are loved of God and appreciated and loved by their children. Lord, I bless the moms and the grandmothers and the great-grandmothers and the great-great-grandmothers. And I ask that you would show them a revelation of what you have written about them in their book in heaven, so that they and the rest of their walk on the earth can build a testimony that overcomes from generation to generation to generation. I bless the moms, Lord, with your peace that passes understanding, with your grace that is always sufficient, and with your love that covers every transgression. In Jesus' name. Amen. I love you all, but if there are some who would like prayer for issues that need to be dealt with, I'll be glad to pray for you. Please stay in fellowship.